The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
All right, he's Dr. Josh Claypool. I'm Tony Curry. We're down here at Vulcan for a couple reasons. First of all, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
it is. You can hear them cutting grass in the background. We really appreciate that. I asked them to hush up a little bit, but that's cool. We're doing some landscaping. We already got people chiming in. And we'll be up on Fox 6 a little bit later on today at 9:35 talking about in-laws, specifically mother-in-laws. Yep. Not really sure where we're going with that.
I'll help you.
We have problems with mother-in-laws?
Oh, yeah. When there's a marriage, the whole mom and I was going to say it's usually son, but it's not.
Yeah.
But it's that whole, you know, the relationship between mom and the kid now becomes relationship with the mom and the kid in the context of the marriage.
Well, the truth of the matter is, when you come into a new family, you're not part of the family. There's
right.
a new piece coming into the that's, family that's not blood. And
so you and me,
we got a little four-piece family going here, and all of a sudden, you got this new guy that wants to come in and play guitar. And you're like, wait a minute, you weren't part of the original lineup. We've been doing pretty well without you, but you have to accept it. And because of that, and it may be a great, he may be a wonderful guitar player, and he may be a fantastic
yes.
addition to the band, but there are some dynamics that
change. But the band, oh, but it's a new band.
Oh, I know it is.
No, but it's a new band.
Yeah, because they say if you're going to marry
mom
the girl,
and you're dad
yeah.
are not the prime, you're not lead in that band anymore.
True.
But that's where it gets
the lead singer loves this new guitar player, but the rest of them are like,
yeah, but then, yeah. and then the biggest issue becomes who stands up? This is where it's always the issue. Mom or dad, but it's usually mom. Mom's got a tight relationship, either with daughter or son.
Yeah.
Now the couple gets married. And mom, again, or dad, but usually mom, is still kind of has this relationship that hasn't changed.
Yeah.
And new spouse is like, okay, your mom's here all the time, or your mom's making all these decisions, or your mom's telling you what to do. What about us? You need to tell your mom to kind of back off.
Yeah.
So the questions become, A, should you tell your mom to back off? B, if your spouse has a problem with your mom, should they tell her to back off, or should you tell her to back off on behalf of your spouse?
So it's funny because this past weekend on TBS, they had a Meet the Fockers.
Yes. Right. That's it. Yep. That's it.
And it was the first time that I actually seen all the Focker movies, one after another.
Yep.
And of course, that's too an extreme. It's a movie, but
Whole boundary setting and when is it? Oh my God, it is.
There's a lot of things that the newcomer can do to make things a lot easier. So hopefully, we'll talk about that a little bit because it ain't all in the mother. And I know we're specifically talking about a mother-in-law. And I know,
right.
depending on whether it's the mother-in-law's son that's getting you married or
yep.
the daughter, because I think it's much more difficult when it's the son because it could be a mama's boy.
That's it. Well,
because every boy is a mama's boy.
Well, no, but it's usually that way. And,
yeah.
and it's time. And usually the spouse has to say to her husband, you no longer get to be the mama's boy the way you were before.
See, now I had an interesting situation. I have to be very careful here. Really, I don't.
Yeah.
Because my mother-in-law was not the patriarch of the family. Like so many mother-in-laws are.
Okay.
And I was very pleasant to her. We used to have really long conversations.
Right.
When everyone else got left the table, I'd be sitting there with my mother-in-law.
Okay.
We would have these long conversations and talk
Ooh.
About all kinds of things, including politics. And so I was the one that was looked upon from her family, like, what are you doing?
Oh. You were encroaching the other way.
I was.
Now, how did your ex-spouse now feel about your relationship with her mom? Was she
didn't
like good?
Didn't say she didn't like it.
Did you have a better relationship with her mom than she did?
I would say I did.
Yeah. That gets to be some shit.
Because you know how I am.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to be nice to everybody. I mean,
yes.
that's who I am. And,
right.
and if someone's difficult, I'm drawn to that.
Yes.
So when someone says... I'm not saying hypothetical generic. If someone says this person's a real pain in the ass and they have issues and blah blah blah, that's the
You're
person
in.
I'm drawn
yes.
to because I want to find out why, and I want to change them. I just want to find out why they are the way they are because maybe there's a misunderstanding here.
Right.
And so I was always the one that when people would put their hands up and walk away, I would stay sitting.
See, I make it really simple. On the surface, if a couple gets married,
yeah.
couple gets married, your relationship with your parents changes fundamentally. Now, yep. People say, oh, it doesn't change. Yes, sure it does. Sure it changes 100%. And things that you may have done before, you can no longer do now.
I agree.
And well, but that transition period, yep. About, again, boundary setting, telling mom to back off, telling dad to back off, taking advice in context, all that, not only does it create a problem and friction for your relationship with your parent, but your spouse is sitting over here going, what about me? What about me? What about me? Or what I've seen with a lot of in-laws is there's a workaround.
Yeah.
They're going around their kid.
Well, say the new guy comes in, he's a guitar player, and he's friends with the lead singer. And he comes in and he's just playing a bit piece and it's adding to the band and their hits and they're doing really, really well. And then all of a sudden the lead singer says, I want him to do the lead guitar on this piece.
Right.
And the lead guitarist is like, I always play lead guitar. Well, yeah, he's playing lead guitar from now on.
Yep.
And I want him to start singing.
Right. Right. And
there's a pecking order there because everyone's going to fall down a notch because that person's going to move to the top because as they should, they're the most important person to that person.
I don't know about a pecking order though in the relationship. It's a different kind of relationship.
You're not daddy's little girl anymore.
No. Oh God, that's going to make me cry.
You're not daddy's little girl because as soon as a dad gets married, that husband better be more important than you.
Right.
He better be.
Well, and that's
because if he's not, their marriage ain't going to last.
So that's the piece that you hear all the time.
Yeah.
It always comes down to who are you going to pick, your spouse or your family.
Yeah.
Right? And you shouldn't even, it gets complicated. It gets complicated.
We'll talk about it on Fox 6 this morning. Yeah. A little psych out this morning. I heard something very interesting this morning, and they even said the word psychological.
Oh, okay.
So the National Football League is starting tonight.
Yes.
The Detroit Lions are visiting the Kansas City, I'm going to say the Royals, the Chiefs tonight. And, of course, Kansas City won a Super Bowl. I didn't realize this. It's been 19 years since we've had back-to-back champions.
Really?
The New England Patriots. Of course, New England Patriots knocked off Kansas City the last time they tried to double up. So they're going to be trying to go back-to-back for the first time in 18, 19 years. So for the first time this year, they're allowing players to change their numbers all the way down to the number zero. If you've ever watched the National Football League, you realize that linemen got a number, running backs got numbers, wide receivers have numbers. Well, a few years back, wide receivers were always in the 80s.
Right.
Recently, they have allowed wide receivers to change your numbers from the 80s to something in the teens, somewhere between, say, 11 and 19.
What?
Okay.
But
what percentage of wide receivers do you believe wanted to change that number?
Wanted to change?
Uh-huh. What percentage of wide receivers in the National Football League did change their numbers?
Small.
83% changed their number. Do you know why?
Freedom.
They thought they were faster, and they thought they were skinnier with a lower number.
Oh, they changed it down. I'm sorry. It came down.
They went from an 86 to a 16.
Oh, yeah. No, that makes no sense, but it makes sense.
Psychologically
I know the
answer to this.
Yeah, because otherwise you'd...
You would be psychological
wizard. Yeah, because
wizard.
You have the same number as a lineman, or you're closer to. You're closer to a lot. You're closer to... No? What is it? What the hell is it?
First of all, the smaller numbers are smaller.
So you're lighter?
So if you're 18 as opposed to 81, you feel lighter and faster because you're an 18 and not an 81. We associate that with age as we get up in numbers. True.
Well, no, I was thinking more of because linemen have higher numbers.
Yeah.
You feel more like a lineman.
It's just based off the number itself. You want to be number one or do you want to be number 93?
Depends
you want to be number eight, or do you want to be number eight or number 74?
Personality.
Well,
right?
That's
always the person.
And that 17% said I'm good, but 83% of wide receivers changed the number. Said, please let me change my number.
And did
they even did a workshop on this to find out if it was the shape of the numbers?
Right.
Because eight is kind of a
yes.
And
they found, like 11?
They found out that 18. In 81 have totally different things because you could switch the number. So if you had 17 or you did 71, you found out that more people thought that 17 was a much faster than 17, despite the fact that it's the same numbers
It looks slick because the one's first. This is so stupid.
But don't you think that's interesting?
No. I mean, yes, it's interesting, but like...
83% of players changed the number to a lower number because they thought they were faster and they weighed less. And
but they didn't believe it. But they didn't believe it.
And when they changed the numbers,
they were placebo effect. Yeah.
They were running faster, quarries, running faster combines when they changed the numbers.
Absolutely.
How insane is that?
Well, in the short run, makes total sense.
Yeah.
The question, the scientific question is, now that you've done it, in the combines and all that, you're faster, do you sustain it?
No.
Can you sustain that across the course of the season? My guess is going to be no, because it's a placebo effect. It is that short term effect of making that change.
Yeah, but don't placebo effects only work when you know there's not a placebo?
No.
Yeah, I know that I'm not faster at 71 than I am at 17 or 17 at 71. Well, so why am I running faster?
So these players know that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They know intellectually they're not, right? Because think about what you just said. If you switch the numbers, the players have switched the numbers. If you ask them the weight of the note, is it the weight of the numbers? And they'll say intellectually, no, I know that the stickers weigh the same.
Yeah.
Is it the placement of the number on your back? Does it change your posturing? And they'll say, no. And they'll say, well, then what do you think it is? I just feel faster.
It is interesting, though, you look back on the history of both college and professional football, and teams with darker uniforms win more than teams with lighter uniforms.
Why do we have to have specific numbers?
Because they look meaner.
No, in football. Why does it have to be that way?
Because you have to know how many people are on the football field, first of all. You have to know.
So is that what it is?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't have two the same numbers because
you've got penalties and
things like that.
But, like, why can't you have a lineman who's number one?
Well, you do have you don't have that. I think it's always been associated because it helps the referees acknowledge who's in for
plays. So there's a purpose. There's a purpose. I get it.
Yeah.
I always wonder in basketball.
But you got 100 players, you're going to have multiple numbers. And you saw a lot of college football this past weekend where two plays, and I think the Alabama game where you had the same players with the same numbers on the football field at the same time, which is a no-no.
I always wondered in the NBA, the players who chose zero.
You can this is the first year you can choose zero.
As a football player?
Yeah.
Position?
I'm not sure position-wise what it is, but zero is now available to be played on a football field. And I don't think until this year that was
possible. You should be offensive defensive lineman.
Yeah.
I think that's the only person to carry it off. Or a wide receiver, maybe.
He's Dr. Josh Claypool. I'm Tony Curry, being Fox 6. By the way, I did my ABC 3340 show yesterday. No one said a word yet. With Kip Kiefer, Terry Quillian, the legend, was a knucklehead. He's just out of control. I love him. And then Case Kiefer from the Las Vegas Sun came out with 4 plays again yesterday. Didn't do particularly well on our first show. But that show is going to be airing Saturday morning, 10:30 to 11. And as long as you have Spectrum, you have to watch our show because you can't watch College Game Day on ESPN, which I think is hilarious. That's one of those things where when I'm super huge in a few years, I remember how this whole TV thing started. The week before our show came on, we were competing against College Game Day on ESPN. Spectrum, of all things, decided that they weren't going to have a deal with Disney. And because of that, you had to watch our show. And that's what catapulted us to the top of the college football world. Hey, let me ask you something. Why aren't we talking about Gary Wright? By the way, we lost 3. Jimmy Buffett, Steve Harwell from Smash Mouth. And then Gary Wright passed away right afterwards. And I have not heard one story about Gary Wright, and I'm wondering why. Because if he had not been in Wayne's World, I can make an argument that he just didn't have enough hits. Love Is Alive is a great song.
Right.
And Dreamweaver, right? But because of Dreamweaver, he should have gotten some notoriety in the news media. And I'm thinking to myself,
he did.
I mean, I've heard more about Smash Mouth than I heard about Jimmy Buffett.
Really?
Have you not?
No.
I have.
Nah.
Now, maybe where I'm watching television?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a...
It was Labor Day?
Yeah.
I think it came down. I think Smash Mouth, I think Steve Harwell died just long enough after Jimmy Buffett that it started going down a little bit and popped back up again.
Yeah.
Because it was the old, But why aren't we talking about Gary Wright, man?
Because I think 2 things. I think, one, like you said, we had larger names, particularly Jimmy Buffett. I mean, Jimmy Buffett just became a larger story because not just his music, right? The music, his background, his businesses, there was more to play off of it. I mean, I watched a lot of interesting stories about his business. And so I think that held on longer.
do you think Jimmy Buffett was worth?
They said just short of $1 billion.
Wow.
Yeah. He did a really cool interview with Rolling Stone, and one of the questions they asked him is, you know, as your career split off and you became songwriter, singer, but you had this multi-million dollar business, was it hard to manage both? And he's like, yeah, it was. He's like, but at the same time, I'm no fool.
Yeah.
He said, I'm no fool. He said, I don't play guitar very well and I can't sing very well. He's like, but I love to write songs, and as long as I was doing this other stuff. No, I didn't think you didn't hear about him because he was kind of a one-hit wonder, kind of, and it happened at exactly the same time that these two much larger names died. That's
I'm just surprised we didn't mention it at all, because we know everything comes in threes, and we were all waiting for that third, and when that third came,
I texted you, and you sent it to me. I was like,
I didn't even know about it.
I know. It just popped up on the bottom of the entertainment.
When you're sitting there waiting for that third, then it hits, you're like, oh, and then you think it would bring some notoriety to that person's life, and no one's talking about it.
Interesting, because Smash Mouth, I'm blanking on the song, from Shrek, so Smash Mouth was a huge band anyway, but kind of,
but
like...
But they weren't.
Well, yeah.
They had two songs. Gary Wright had two songs. Right, they had Walking on the Son of Rockstar. Now, I was in Shrek.
Right.
They did I'm a Believer, too, yes. Which was a hit. So they had three. But, I mean, you can still hear Dreamweaver now. I don't hear Rockstar anymore.
I know. Who's next? I'm so nervous.
Bruce Springsteen.
No, I know.
He's got peptic ulcer. That's, or something.
I know, but that won't kill you. It makes it hard to perform.
Well, did we think this...
Well, we found out about Jimmy Buffett. I mean, he was really sick.
Yeah.
Like and you know what? I mean, I won't go into this on thing. Having just had skin cancer removed.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm going to tell you about this in a second. But one of the things that came out of it was, I mean, it was an opportunity for physicians and others to talk about just how deadly skin cancer is.
Yeah.
And particularly for a guy like Jimmy Buffett and the rest of us who spend way too much time in the sun. But he had this rare form of skin cancer, which when Lulu's article came out, you heard about for the last 4 years.
It's been tough.
It's been super tough, but we kind of didn't know. I hope and pray that with Bruce Springsteen, it's peptic ulcers and not stomach cancer.
He's 73, 74 years old.
I mean, any one of them.
Was 76.
Right. Meanwhile, Rolling Stones...
Would you rather see rock and rollers die the way Jimmy Buffett did, where it comes out of nowhere, and then we can remember him, or would you rather it be a situation where it's a Dan Fogelberg, where you know it's a down?
Yeah. So.
Something is sexy and exciting and romantic about a guy dying like Jimmy Buffett.
It is, except when I read the article by his sister. He did not.
Norm Macdonald is a prime example of that. A guy who knew he was really sick and was going to die and didn't tell anybody, and all of a sudden it came out of nowhere.
The Black Panther guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here's the thing that I guess is important. We just thought Jimmy Buffett just died, right? We were like, oh my God, what happened? We didn't know. Then there was this little piece about, you know, he had a rare form of skin cancer, and we're like, okay, whatever. And then when Lulu wrote her piece and she talked about the last 4 years, and it's weird when you hear the description of an artist or a celebrity who has done things behind the scenes, and it's a very human thing. They're suffering. They had pain. They were in the hospital. For me, it changes my whole perspective. They instantly go from sort of larger than life to life. Literally, when they describe what happened.
Do you ever feel like they owed it to us to let us know what was going on?
No, absolutely not.
I know a lot of people do.
No, why? No,
as lovers of their music, as fans,
because
you've allowed us to be part of your life your entire life. Let us pray for you. Okay, let us think about what you're going through.
Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe the will to live was being driven by, I want to do everything I can to A, perform, to B, be there in a way for my fans. My fans don't want to see me sick and not feeling well.
No, I get both sides. I'm just telling you, I understand both sides.
Yeah, I know, but if it was me, no, I would try to.
If you knew you were dying and you had 6 months to live, would you tell anybody?
Anybody? Yeah, I'd tell
you. Would you do stuff on Instagram? Would you tell people you're dying? Why not?
No.
Why not? Yeah, you would.
No,
yeah, you would.
No,
yes,
no,
you
no,
would.
No, I wouldn't.
First of all, word would get out. Because I tell everybody.
Well, okay. Thanks.
Hey, did you hear about my partner, radio partner, Josh Capo? He's going to die. He's going to be dead in 2024.
No, I would not post anything.
I think you say that. No, I would not, unless it's not about vanity. No, it's not about that thing.
Unless things got out of hand.
They would get out of hand.
If it got out of hand.
Fox 6 would know about it. They'd have to know about it.
If it got out of hand, I think that from a public standpoint, when the narrative becomes not your own, I think you're then in a position to make the decision, do I want to try to clarify the narrative or not? And for me, I would let the narrative go until I felt like...
You would give us just enough to know that you were in trouble.
Yeah.
And then let us decide for ourselves. And then
Jimmy
you'd have
Buffett
to admit.
Did it.
And by doing that, you're letting people know.
Jimmy Buffett
That's like
did
saying,
it.
I've got this secret, but I can't tell you.
But Jimmy Buffett said that. He's like, I had to go to the hospital. The hospital? He didn't say I had to go to the doctor.
Yeah, but we didn't know something was going to kill him.
But I had to go to the hospital to get something fixed.
Well, so did Bruce Springsteen.
But that's the problem. Yes. Anytime, you know. I mean,
I've been to the hospital.
I know. But when you get to a certain age, going to the hospital... It's not a good thing. You know, Justin Bieber goes to the hospital. I'm not thinking he's dying.
Yeah.
I'm thinking he's sick. He's exhausted.
76, a little young.
But it's not from a disease standpoint.
Well, and the other thing is we think that Jimmy Buffett just was living such a wonderful life that he was going to live to be 90. I mean, at least I did.
Yes.
I mean, I thought he was going to Willie Nelson it.
I'm not saying
I don't think he smokes dope. I don't even know if he drinks anymore, Buffett, or he doesn't drink anymore now, but. I knew he was living a good life. I knew he was in good shape.
Yes.
I really think
that's the sad part because again, he had skin cancer.
I really thought he was going to die when he fell off the stage in Australia.
Well, yeah, that's what you said.
And I think the age of 70. And if you ever saw the video, he walked right off the stage. Yeah. He took a header. You could hear his head hit the ground.
But that's not what killed him.
No, that probably didn't help.
No, that doesn't affect your
skin. All right, tell me about your skin cancer.
So my skin. So I had this squamous cell skin cancer.
Squamous cell.
Squamous.
Right? Sounds like an Indian.
It's the bad kind. It's not the bad kind. It's in between basal and melanoma.
Okay.
So I had to have this thing removed. Please wear your sunscreen. I am one of those ones who did not wear enough sunscreen in the 80s. And anyway, so I had this thing removed. And I asked my dermatologist, Dr. Holly Gunn, who's amazing. She was taking it out, and I said, how do we know if it comes back? Like, what's the test? You know, when they test, this was a dumbass question. She's like, it's on your skin. She's like, well,
yeah,
watch it.
Yeah.
It'll grow back, and we'll see it. Yeah. So and that was A. Then B, they do all this fancy stuff, and she said the scab will fall off. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm on a Zoom call yesterday, just talking. This scab
just falls off.
Fell off.
I had it on my face.
Did it like literally fell off onto the ground as a
not
piece?
In the shower. Yeah. Just,
nope. Just boom. Yeah. I was afraid it was going to fall off into the Zoom screen.
Yeah.
But I'm doing much better. Applying.
Is there anything you want to share with us? Are you okay?
No, I'm fine. Well, as far as I know,
you would tell me if you're going to die, right?
Well, I asked her. You know me. I'm Jewish. I asked if I was dying. Dr. Gunn, am I dying? No,
she
you're
said,
not dying.
No, she said we're all dying, Josh.
She said we have there's two forms of treatment. One is 95% effective, one is 98% effective.
Yeah.
And the one at 98%, you have to come back every single 3 days a week for 20 weeks. I'm like, I'll take the 95.
Hey, Google something today. Today is National Google Commemoration Day. Actually, do you know when Google was actually created? Can you give me the date? It was September 4th, not September 7th, but today's the commemoration day. It's the day where you're supposed to Google everything.
God, 25 years ago?
It was 1998, so you're right on, 25 years ago. 25 years ago this past week, very good.
Did you hear about Google's new policy with AI altered?
I did.
Did you hear that?
Thank goodness we can still use the shade. We can use some different light on some things.
But that's some scary shit.
Well,
there.
When you got a picture of Donald Trump kissing Anthony Fauci,
though,
we got issues, yes.
But anything. I mean, you literally can make up a false reality.
Trigger.
That's terrible.
It's up to us to do the research to figure it out.
Right.
Get off your dumb ass and do a little research.
And don't just look in the same outlet.
And here's the deal. If you see a video of Donald Trump kissing Anthony Fauci, use your head. If it looks too good to be true, then it probably is.
No, but yes, flip it the other way. So there's confirmatory bias, right? If you see something that looks a little off, but is consistent with your views,
yeah,
you also should be checking.
Yeah.
And not just checking your outlets.
So we were talking about cultured meat last week on Fox 6.
Yes.
So last Thursday, thanks to the Knights of Columbus at Our Lady of the Valley Church, I ordered $157 worth of meat.
I got my, do you think it'd get any louder here?
No. I got two butts, two chickens, two ribs, yep, and a pint of sauce. And I wish I got more sauce because the sauce is unbelievable. And so I've been eating meat. I'm surprised. You know, I said I got plantar fasciitis.
It's from the meat.
It could be gout. I mean, I could just be eating so much meat, it's gout. I've been eating meat like
I'm
a carnivore. It's been unbelievable. Don't worry about me.
I am worried about you.
You know, if I was going to die, I think I'd tell everybody.
Well, yeah. No, you wouldn't.
No, I mean, no, I need prayers, man.
Yeah, but you wouldn't. I'm going to ask you this. This isn't a pivot. This is classic Curry and Claypool. I'm going all over the place. I hope I don't get myself in trouble for this.
Get in trouble. Go for it. I do it all the time.
So, I post a lot on social media.
You do.
I don't like when people post, God, I'm going to say this, the asking for prayers.
Okay.
If someone's dying, yeah, I guess it's okay. But even then,
I asked you for a prayer yesterday.
Yeah, but you didn't do it via this.
No.
What's your thought about that? Because I feel like it's diluted it. I feel like we're asking for prayers for everything. You know, I'm about to close on a house. Please, anyone, you know, send looking for prayers today.
I do think prayer in numbers works, but you have to mean it. There are empty prayers. There are times where, like, God, please help me through this, and you really don't care. And I don't think he hears those prayers. He hears all prayers.
But I don't
think
he's going to do anything.
I will say this. I know exactly what you're talking about. Because the people that ask for prayers all the time.
Yeah.
You know what really bothers me?
Huh?
Is when a priest or the Pope says, please pray for me.
That's scary.
Because I'm kind of like, why am I praying for you?
Big shit trouble.
But you know what?
No, but that's
But I know that God and Jesus pray for me. And so as long as I know that's true, then I'm good to go.
I don't like the prayers up and the prayers and prayers and prayers and prayers.
I just think it's an ask that is only used very sparingly. If I've got cancer or I'm really going through a tough time, I rarely ask for prayers because I know my friends and people that watch me are already praying for me.
Yes.
Or thinking about me because they're my friends and I love them and they are praying for them. I pray for people that I don't ask for prayers.
Right.
But if someone specifically says, here's what I think it does. If someone says, please pray for me, I think that is an ask. Reach out. I think that is a time. Now, there's some people saying, I'm having a bad day. Please pray for me. I'm kind of
that is. So my kid's applied to 5 colleges and like, no, come on. It's on social media.
But, yeah.
Like if they called you and said, look, our kid's applying for college. I only got one college. I always say keeping good thoughts. For me, that's my way of like, because I know, but I feel like a prayer's here.
Yeah.
A prayer's here. I'm going to keep positive thoughts for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep good thoughts sending out good vibes to you. I'm not praying.
Well, but you mentioned God, you're on social media, right? And what social media? It's keeping in touch with your friends and family.
No,
it's not creating the Basset Hound group for divorced mothers who like to bowl on Thursday nights drinking Bud Light, right? No, it's about keeping in touch. So maybe by saying, send out some prayers, maybe a distant relative who didn't know that your son is going to be going to Vanderbilt went, oh, I didn't know. And then they pray for them and they mean it and that works. That's what social media is all about. It's keeping in touch with our friends and family.
But
they know what our whole entire life is about.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But don't ask for anything. Do you see what I'm saying? You can
then
sit.
If you don't ask, I don't know.
Then
you have nothing to post.
Yes.
Then you have nothing to post, which is why I don't like social media in the first place, because people will post about anything. Have you seen the new Progressive commercial, by the way?
Mm-mm. I don't know. Maybe I have.
The whole being your parent.
Oh, that's not new.
No, I know it's not, but it's a new commercial. And he's like, do we really need to post 47 pictures about our dinner with Aunt May? And the woman says, well, yes. And he's like, no. No, we don't.
Those are the
you do that. No, everyone does it on Facebook. Yes, they have to do a month. You can't just post one picture of the family. You do six or seven pictures of you on the boat. You with the captain's hat.
Okay.
Have to have a stranger take a picture of the four years while you look off at the sunset, and the sun's going to be right between Adair's and Max's head. You are notorious at that. I don't like that. But I'll ask for prayers, but I don't like that.
I'm selecting out
There's 17 pictures.
No.
Of Josh with his Uncle Ed at dinner.
No. There's usually one, two, three. There's usually four, which you can get plus four. There's a plus four.
Eight.
Not plus eight.
Eight pictures.
It's not plus eight.
Eight pictures.
No. And I'm only doing it, I'm not doing it like day by day by day by day. But the 47 pictures, yes. Yes.
I love you. Mike, how many pictures do I need to see of this dinner?
I'm not
talking about you. I'm just talking about anybody.
Right. The dinner is stupid.
Dude, two pictures is plenty. If you want to get a different shot of something or two different things, it's fine.
Don't
but when you're posting more than two pictures of one event, you got issues.
Okay, well, then we can do that. What about a wedding ceremony? Not a ceremony, a wedding.
Then go to the wedding.
No, for the people
go to the wedding and see it. Yes, you'd be at the wedding. You can see it. It's all right here.
What if you weren't invited?
then you don't care about the damn wedding pictures.
Maybe they do.
I got news for you. If you're sending out 75 pictures of your wedding and I'm on your Facebook, I don't care about your wedding because I wasn't invited. I really could give a rat's ass about how much cake got shoved up her nose. I don't really give a rat's ass. I don't care.
Remember when we were saying you didn't know what to say this morning on Fox?
Yes. Is that it?
Because you weren't invited to Lyndon's wedding. That's exactly what, that's what I'm saying. Don't say that.
I will say that. I don't know Lyndon well enough.
That's who I was talking about.
Is Lyndon the woman that she did has a tattoo?
Yeah. Oh. She just got married. That's where the mother-in-law thing's coming from. Don't say that. But until you can tell her you enjoyed her pictures of the wedding.
Yeah.
Everyone from Fox was invited except you.
I don't even get invited to Fox 6 to watch the fireworks up here.
No, you're not allowed to.
We can't even go up there and do this show.
No,
up
we can. Well, we can.
But we
from
love
the parking
them.
Lot.
But we love them. From the
parking lot. Not on premise.
They rock.
It's a library thing.
We tease the people.
We went way too long.
Today's also today National Salami Day. I love me some salami.
I used to like salami.
Did your grandma or your mom ever put salami on bread with butter? My grandma did the butter and then the salami.
So that's really interesting because you and I come from very different, not religious, cultural backgrounds. And like you've described a lot of shit that you've eaten growing up. And I was like, no. But on my dad's side, they're all from Hungary. I had Hungarian relatives and they did that. It was Hungarian salami. Like you had to go to a special salami person.
Now, is that like Genoa or like hard salami? Or is it
totally was different? Hard salami, but Hungarian style. With like
hard salami just kicks the bejeevers out of Genoa. Genoa's got an aftertaste to it.
It's slimy and it's kind of... But so my grandmother would do that, where she'd put butter on bread that she got from the bakery, the Hungarian bakery, Hungarian sausage or Hungarian salami with butter on it.
It was
pretty good.
I had some salami and crackers yesterday.
Oh, that's good. Salami and crackers good. That's charcuterie.
That was from
look at you. You're
that was from September of 2022.
It's aged. Just aged.
I saw September. I was like, "This is still good." I don't remember buying salami. Then I remember, wait a minute, it's already September. And so I was like, I didn't want to ruin it for myself, so I just started eating it before I could realize.
Does salami ever go bad if it's?
People will tell you that cold cuts are good for about 5 to 6 days. Even hard salami. Hard salami is good for. Ever, I think, right? As long as it stays cold, you get more fat in it, and it gets a little
maybe
greasy.
Maybe that's why your feet hurt.
Well, you ever had a slimy hot dog? If you ever get a hot dog, seriously, if you ever get a hot dog and you pull them out and they're really slimy, just wash them off under warm water. They're totally good. Boil them and you get yourself a killer hot dog. Sometimes I think they're actually better when they're aged a little bit.
Well, if you boil them, aren't you killing everything?
Well, yeah, but like the old style hot dogs with the skins on them, they get really slippery. And it's almost like the fat that gets really cold in the refrigerator and you have to kind of carve it off the meat. It coagulates. That's the kind of fat. Just get it really hot water and you can wash that fat off and boil it and you got yourself a killer hot dog. And it's got a little aftertaste to it that is just killer. Salami's kind of like that too. I feel fantastic today. And I had like 75 slices of salami. I think I ate an entire salami.
We got to work
like, not
on
salami
you.
Like slices, but I ate like an entire salami.
He needs help. You need so much help.
I'm getting 20 pounds.
Well, because you're eating salami.
From like the last year.
How's your bowel movements?
I haven't had one about 3 days.
Dude, because you're eating, you got a whole stick of salami in there.
No, I have, you know what I do for that? Man. Raisin bran, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
And my dad used to eat prunes. He'd eat prunes. He'd eat prunes while he was drinking Metamucil.
And he's not Jewish. I thought that was a Jewish thing.
He would drink Metamucil while he's eating prunes. Yeah. He still couldn't poop. So I have like a bowl of 2 scoops, but then I take extra raisins and I pour it on top because I want a lot of raisins on there, right? I mean, I have like 75 raisins in every bite. I mean, I might as well just eat raisins with the bran.
My grandparents ate grapefruit.
Oh, yeah. Because they put their cigarettes out in it?
No, then that side of the family didn't smoke. They smoked cigars. They ate grapefruit, and then they put all bran or bran flake. It looked like sawdust. And then on top of that, 2 prunes. And my grandfather would always, he was one of the ones, he's like, you like prunes? You always look down. You like prunes? I'm like, not really. You like prunes? Yes, I like prunes.
Yeah.
Why don't you have some? Good for you. You always just say it'll make you regular.
Great fiber. Did they eat it with your cottage cheese?
Not at the same time.
Whatever happened to cottage cheese, man?
It's still there.
Is it still down there? They still sell cottage cheese?
Cottage cheese is one of the most disgusting.
It really is. It's like head cheese. I know.
Yeah, right?
There was a short period of time, I think, like in my senior year where I liked cottage cheese for like a week.
You know what we did? So I had a friend.
Salt and pepper it?
No, we went the other way. This is a Korean clay pot cooking episode. I had a friend who ate cottage cheese, and we were all teasing him. He's like, no. I put vanilla extract, a little cinnamon, and sugar. And you make it into this, like, I don't know, ricotta sort of thing. Right. And we were like, and then we ate, and we did the cottage cheese. And then it was cottage cheese and fruit.
Yeah.
That's like a 70s thing.
When you gotta dress up your food that much, though, then you got issues.
Well, you can eat it plain.
If the only way you can eat it is to dress it up.
Well, because it's got no flavor. It's like plain yogurt.
It's just it's the consistency in your mouth.
It's cheese curd. I mean, it's milk curd.
It is.
You ever drink buttermilk?
Yeah. Dude, my dad used to my dad drove a milk truck.
Oh, that's right.
And he would, in the middle of the summertime, he'd go up on top of the truck and take his hand and wipe the cream off the top and drink it. He said it was the most refreshing thing he ever had. This is before we had homo milk. Homogenized. Homogenized, called a homo milk.
My dad used to drink buttermilk. And I do remember very distinctly it happened one time. My stomach was upset. I wasn't vomiting or anything, but my stomach was a little upset. My mom wanted to give me, we're Jewish, my Lanta.
Yeah,
my Lanta. Every Jew grew up on my Lanta. I don't care who you, I don't care where you're from. It's not, and not Pepto, but not Tums.
Yeah.
Jews eat my Lanta. I had my Lanta. So anyway, so my dad's like.
They just walk around with my Lanta, don't they?
Yeah, we have my Lanta in our pockets. Yeah. It's like Tums. Yeah. The Gentiles, y'all have Tums. We have my Lanta.
Yeah.
So my dad's like, you should have buttermilk. Because he used to drink buttermilk. Just have a little bit of buttermilk. It'll settle your stomach. Almost. I took 2 sips and I got, and the milk came in.
Cleaned you out, bro.
No, the milk came in. And then there was a little chunk of vomited instantly.
And it made you feel better.
He's like, do you feel better?
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
Well, but not because of that. Because
did you know anyone that ate raw ground beef?
That's steak tartare.
No, steak is steak.
No,
it's raw ground. My dad used to let my mom would go up and make. Well, she would make her own ground beef, but she would go get fresh ground beef.
Well, but isn't that the same?
And he'd just chop it out.
But isn't that the same kind of? I mean, that's steak tartare.
No, it's not, because I don't think you can get as sick from eating like a steak tartare as you can from eating raw ground beef. Because raw brown ground beef is ground up other meat that we don't normally
eat. Raw chicken?
Raw ground beef is the equivalent of a hamburger hot dog.
Did you eat raw chicken?
And you don't want to wash off your ground beef. If your ground beef starts turning green, just get rid of it. It's no good. You can fry the hell out of it. No, you can fry the hell out of it. It's still nasty. It's sour. It's got a sour taste to it. But hot dogs? Well, hot dogs already have kind of a sour taste.
But hot dogs aren't raw. Isn't it already cooked?
No.
You can eat hot dogs raw.
You can.
But, I mean, they're not raw, right?
Well, aren't like they already uncured? Yeah, uncured hot dogs, like the ones that come off the
This is going to be our best episode.
Yeah, they're
ever.
Raw. They're raw hot dogs.
Really?
Yeah.
I only eat Hebrew National.
But I just think there's so much nasty stuff in there. There's because there's a lot of preservatives and stuff right. in there. I think you could eat them.
Not Hebrew National.
I'm really hungry right now. We should go to a Waffle House.
No, we can't. You can go to the cook. No.
Is there a hot dog stand right there somewhere?
We go when we go up to Fox before we go in there.
I could use some cottage cheese and some raw
cooking episode. Grubbing. There's a kitchen right there.
Yeah, but they got to cook for us.
No, but Janice was doing corn yesterday. Or when we were there.
That was on Labor Day.
You know, they always have a cooking segment.
No, but they were just doing that because it was Labor Day.
No, but they always have a cooking segment.
Because Mike kept checking his ribs.
See?
And his meat.
Okay. Well, look at that.
What's that?
Look, it's a spider.
Oh, yeah.
Look. Wait. Can they see it? They can't see it.
No, they can't see it.
Wait, but if you go up there. Go. They can. If they go,
Oh, there you go.
He goes, oh.
Oh, that's going to look really cool.
Oh, there he is.
It's going to look like there's a giant spider
now. Yeah, now he's on the camera.
Sweet. Come on down, little buddy.
No. I think he's right on top of the camera.
Is he on top of the camera?
He's in the green.
So right now they're seeing a giant spider? I
don't know. This is one of the worst episodes I've ever done. And we've done some shitty episodes. This is really bad.
We really have done some shitty episodes, but this may be the best one we've ever had because of the giant spider. I can't wait to watch this now.
I wish there was a way we could take a screen. Well, it's not a screenshot because he's right there. Why?
He needs to go up a little bit, though, right?
Yeah, careful. Don't get bit.
He don't care about my figure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he's on top now.
Okay.
I can't wait to watch this episode. This is our spider episode. Spider-Man episode.
Why don't you take a picture of the spider? Of us. This is really good.
Yeah.
This is some good video right here.
Yeah,
okay, can you get that? Can you get that spider right in there?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's going to be good.
There you go.
That'll make a thing. Okay. Should we say goodbye now?
Yeah, we probably should. I think we're done.
Bye.
Curry and Clippo Show. Watch us on Fox 6 and watch me on ABC 3340 this Saturday morning from 10:30 to 11 o'clock.
Bye.
See you.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.